Montana State University Billings welcomes you to this internet broadcast of Yellow Jacket Sports.
Welcome to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show, talking with Chris Brown, the head coach for the Montana State Billings men's baseball team. Boy, we haven't talked to Chris for a long time. We talked to him before the season even started, and, you know, Jesus, seems like they're already well into it now as they've been on a monster road trip, just got back to Billings. Chris, taking a look at it, you know, you got off to a rough start. Maybe that can kind of be expected. You're playing some awful good teams, I know, down in Phoenix and what have you. Just finished up a split on the road to start Great Northwest Athletic Conference play against St. Martin's. I'm not going to put words in your mouth. Just in general, how have things gone so far?
You know, the start of the trip was definitely disappointing. We didn't play as well as we know we were capable of, and played like a team that hadn't been outside all year, which we hadn't. And, you know, unfortunately, we didn't have that opportunity, but you can't use that as an excuse. And, you know, we against Grand Canyon, you know, we lost that one game on a walk-off hit, and that game could have went either way, so they played well, and it wasn't that we didn't play really well, we just were inconsistent. We didn't put a whole game together, and then, you know, against Dixie, we played well twice against them and split those two games and then didn't play well, and they kicked us twice. And, you know, but I think all in all, we got a lot better as the trip went, and we ironed out some wrinkles and kept moving forward. And that's kind of the point of those pre-conference games, is to prepare you for conference play. And, you know, we came into St. Martin's and we were ready to play. We played three of the four games really well, and, you know, we kind of gave that first game away. We didn't take advantage of a couple opportunities and made, you know, one mistake in particular that I guarantee will not happen the rest of the year. It was just kind of one of those, for lack of a better cliche, a brain fart. I don't know if I'm supposed to say that, but yeah. you know, that kid will never do that again the rest of the year, and just it is what it is. And then we bounced back, and Cody Kennedy threw a, you know, unbelievable dominating performance. You know, he struck out 13 guys, and really the two hits, only one of them was actually hit well. The other one was just kind of a little fister that fell into a 6-inch by 6-inch square that, you know, kind of a Texas League or whatever. And then game three, we struggled again. We played really well for five innings, and then in the sixth, the wheels fell off. And real proud that the guys bounced back in game four. You know, Brian Howe obviously threw a heck of a game, and that's a lot easier when your pitcher's up there shoving. But, you know, we hit the ball really well for the weekend. You know, at conference, I think we 40-some hits. We averaged over 10 hits a game and you know, hit 320-something as a team, and had, you know, two really good starting performances. So real happy with where we ended the trip, and I think that puts us in a good position preparing for this next weekend against Western.
Let me ask you this. You know, I've always been curious about this, and I know there's different theories about it and what have you, but this time of year, who typically has the advantage? Is it the pitchers or is it the hitters? You know, I think of a pitcher, you know, they can pretty well throw all year long. I don't know if a lot of them do that, but, you know, they can certainly throw inside. Hitters are a little bit different from the standpoint that basically maybe they can get in a batting cage, but that's about it, particularly with cold weather teams like us. But who's typically got the advantage early in the year?
You know, as a whole, definitely the pitchers usually do, but I think that varies individually. You have some guys that, you know, they can wake up Christmas morning and hit 400, and you know, the next pitcher can throw all the time, and until he starts getting on a dirt mound and in game situations, he's not going to get on track. And you know, whereas the next guy, offensively, you know, he's got to get 30, 40, 50 at-bats under his belt before he gets his timing down and everything. And conversely, you can have a guy on the mound that, you know, as long as his arm's in shape, he's good, whether he's indoors or outdoors or on a steep or a you know, steep mound or whatever. So I think it varies more or less individually than it does as a whole, if that makes sense.
Okay, good enough. You know, I know that you really downplayed it. I think I teased you a little bit off air the other day when I was asking you about the fact that you hadn't got to practice outside. And I know, coaches, particularly you, hate to make excuses, but I'm going to throw it out at you once again. How much of an effect do you think that had on the team, the fact that they finally got to play outside? You're playing inside. I know you're probably, particularly with fielding, I don't know if it's like softball, but they use a softer ball, which is a little harder to catch. Typically, how did that affect you, do you think?
You know, I can say that it didn't help us. but, you know, that being said, I think that the biggest factor. You know, being in Billings, we're pretty fortunate. You know, although we're up north, we're still fortunate that, you know, geez, 3 of the 5 years we've been outside year round. And I think for a lot of guys, it was more of a mental aspect that they were inside, so mentally they felt like they weren't ready. Whereas, you know, back in, when I was back in northern Minnesota, Bemidji, you knew you weren't getting outside, and it wasn't as much of a factor because you just kind of had dealt with it your whole life. And you know, a lot of guys around here haven't dealt with that before, so it was more of a mental thing than anything from my standpoint.
All right, good enough. We're going to talk a little bit more about what's happened up to this point of the season, some of the positive aspects, and on the flip side, some of maybe those things that they're really trying to work on. And, of course, we're going to be talking about the big weekend games coming up against GNAC Perennial Power Western Oregon. That's coming up on the second and third part of the Coaches Shows.
Hooligan Sports Bar and the Montana Brewing Company. Small brewery, big beer. Billings number one award-winning beers. Great food, great fun, and great beer. Hooligan Sports Bar and the Montana Brewing Company. And we're now proud sponsors of the Montana State University Billings Athletics. Join us before and after the game for great food, awesome service, and award-winning beer. Hooligan Sports Bar and the Montana Brewing Company. Small brewery, big award-winning beer. Right in the heart of downtown Billings. At 113 North Broadway, downtown.
Welcome back to the Coaches Show, talking with Chris Brown, the head coach for the Montana State Billings baseball team. I want to talk to you more about St. Martin's. You know, this was interesting. I think I remember back to last year, there was a lot of excitement when St. Martin's came in here. You guys had played pretty well on the road, really held up your own, and you finally get some games at home against a GNAC opponent in St. Martin's. It was a tough week for you. In fact, St. Martin's, despite the fact you actually had a better record than St. Martin's last year, it really was a tough matchup for you for whatever reason last season. That happens from time to time. But this year, going on the road and earning a split, and I know coaches, they want to get them all, but nonetheless, not a bad way to start the conference year.
No, you know, at a minimum on the road, you want a split, especially in conference games, and that's kind of always, you know, like I said, the worst-case scenario. And for us to go in there and respond the way that we did and get a split out of it, I thought that was a huge statement and showed our guys have a lot of guts and a lot of fight. And for whatever reason, you're right, St. Martin's the last couple of years has had our number. You know, they beat us a couple times pretty good last year, and you know, we'd go and we kicked NNU pretty good, and then NNU goes and kicks St. Martin's, yeah, and it's kind of like, you know, geez, how does that work out? But that's why you play the games, and everybody, you know, brings different strengths and weaknesses to the table, and some teams are more able to take advantage of certain weaknesses than other teams. So it's all kind of how that, you know, each team meshes together, and for whatever reason, in the past, we've struggled against St. Martin's, but that's one thing that we, you know, we really try to dwell on and just kind of tried to get the guys amped up for conference opener and really have the mindset this year that it doesn't matter who we play or where we're playing, we need to play our best baseball, and if we can do that, then, you know, when it's all said and done, we should look back and be happy on it. You can't fall into that trap of, well, we're playing the best team or we're playing the worst team. It's no, you're playing another team and you got to play your best baseball, and if you do that, then good things usually happen and everything takes care of itself.
And that about, you know, baseball is a lot like a lot of team sports, and it's really all about matchups. I know one thing, you know, I've always been fascinated by that sort of thing. I remember a few years ago, now they got a good team, but I remember Tampa Bay, you know, for years struggled in Major League Baseball, and yet they always gave the Yankees a terrible time, and the Yankees were pretty good every year. I know it comes down to a lot of things. Maybe a team is predominantly a left-handed lineup, and if you're a predominantly right-handed pitching staff, I know that certainly works into the advantage of the hitters. But when we talk about matchups, do you have the type of team, do you think, that you can adjust to whatever team your type of team you're playing, you know, from the standpoint that maybe you do match up just from that standpoint against most teams?
You know, that was one of the focuses recruiting this year, was to become a lot more flexible and obviously, you know, add depth in the process. And, you know, I felt like we obviously threw a lot of lineups out there. If you look at it, we I don't think we've ever used the same lineup twice. And that being said, I think that speaks for the depth that we have and the flexibility that we have. And, you know, we've got, you know, some guys that we got some lefty hitters that hit lefties just fine and actually struggle against righties and you know, don't fall into that. Normally left-handed guys struggle against left-handed pitchers. So we're able to mix and match a little bit, and I think as the weekend went on, we found the right mix. And, you know, you look at the way that we were hitting the ball, we really did a good job of staying patient and being aggressive. And, you know, that's one of the things that's tough with St. Martin's is, you know, you go to Western and you see power arms. You go to Central and you see power arms. You go to NNU and you know, don't necessarily see the high velocity, but they're throwing a lot of fastballs. They're aggressive in the count. And, you know, and St. Martin's, they've got some very crafty guys that, you know, maybe top out 81, 82, 83, but everything moves, everything seems sideways. And I think that in the past we really struggled with that. We were a good fastball hitting team, and I think this year we've got guys that are just good hitters. It doesn't matter if it's a fastball or a breaking ball, if it's 95 or 65. And I think that that, you know, will hopefully play itself out through the year, and we'll find out soon enough here this weekend.
Where do you fall into the category of a manager from the standpoint? Again, these things always kind of fascinate me, and I'm sure we'll talk about it more as the year goes on. But I know a lot of managers are real numbers guys. You know, they're always looking at the stats. Okay, how's this guy doing against right-handed hitters, against left-handed hitters, in these type of situations and what have you. And some managers are a lot more gut instinct. You know, they just say, you know, I just have a feeling that this kid's going to have a good day today. Where do you kind of fall into that? Is it sort of just a kind of a combination of both, if you will?
I'd say that, honestly, I'm right on the fence. You know, the numbers don't lie, and that's hard to debate when a kid's had 100 at-bats against left-handed pitcher and he's hitting a buck 80, and he's had 200 against a right-handed guy and he's hitting 420. Sure. And, you know, those numbers don't lie to you. But
I think I could even figure that out. Yeah.
but at the same time, you know, it is a gut instinct, and, you know, and sometimes you just know by the way a kid's carrying himself that day. You can see it in his mannerisms. You can see it in his eye that, hey, he's got it today or he doesn't. And, you know, so I think that sometimes it's a gut call and sometimes it's a numbers call. And, you know, and that's kind of the double-edged sword of coaching, is when you're right, well, geez, you're supposed to be, and that's what your job is. And when you're wrong, well, geez, you're an idiot. So I think that you've got to kind of take both into account and look at a guy and his history and what he's done. And, you know, geez, if he struggled against the righties or lefties or vice versa, then, you know, you've definitely got to take that into consideration. But I'm not sure who it was. I think it was Billy Martin said, I don't care what a guy did last year, and I don't care what a guy's doing this year. I care what he does today. And that, I think, is really true, where, you know, sometimes guys just get hot. It doesn't matter who's throwing and whatever. And or, you know, on the mound, maybe a guy struggles against right-handed hitters, but he's thrown well the last two times out, and you just try to ride that streak as long as possible.
All right, good enough. Coming up, we'll talk a little bit about the ups and downs of the season and, of course, the big weekend series coming up at Western Oregon. That's coming up on the third part of the Coach's Show with Chris Brown.
Sign up with SignPro. Let the people know.
Trust SignPro. From banners to illuminated cabinets, dimensional signs and letters, custom designs and logos, to wide format color printing and neon. With their top quality cutting edge signage, they have the knowledge to make your first impression a lasting one. So go ahead, create an impact for your business. Sign up with SignPro today. 259-3200.
Sign up with SignPro.
Welcome back to the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show, talking with Chris Brown, the head coach for the Montana State Billings men's baseball team, getting set to take on Western Oregon. Before we get to that, one thing that is always a constant: when you pitch well, you tend to have success. Seems like when things started to turn around for you, you got some real solid pitching performances. Kind of grade your team so far. What are the most positive aspects to this season up to this point for you?
You know, I think that, and we talked about this as a team the other day, we said, you know, obviously we did a lot of things right, we did a lot of things wrong, and we can sit here all day and split hairs and dissect stuff, but I think that the most positive thing from that first trip was that everything that we didn't do well, we have the ability and the capability to fix it. And I think that, you know, in some years past, that's not necessarily the case, where you look and you're like, well, geez, we're not a good fastball hitting team. So you're seeing a guy that has a high velocity, and you just know that day you're going to struggle, and you know, sometimes there's nothing you can do about it. Whereas this year, you know, we looked at it and really could honestly, you know, look at the mistakes that we made and the things that we didn't do as well as we'd like, and they're all very fixable and well within our ability. So I think that was the biggest positive. And the other part of that is as we went on, we eliminated mistakes. And, you know, obviously we didn't play as well as we would have liked, but we rarely repeated a mistake. And really, when we got into a situation that we had failed in, maybe the game before or the inning before or the day before, we didn't repeat our mistakes. We got better at it, and we, you know, ironed out those wrinkles. So I think all in all, that was probably the biggest plus from the trip, is that, you know, obviously we got better and we played a lot better, and we got a solid start to the conference season, but we gradually fixed our mistakes and, you know, hopefully continue to improve.
Well, at least you get a cupcake this weekend, right? Western Oregon, you know, of course I'm being facetious. I mean, to say that they're the, you know, that they've been a perennial power in the GNAC would actually be a gross understatement. They've been really quite dominant. Excellent program there for the Wolves. When you take a look at them this year, same story?
You know, they actually struggled this year. They started off 0-7 or 1-7, and, you know, now they're, you know, obviously back on track. They played well the series before conference started, and then they took 3 or 4 from NNU, but you know, last year I think we got over that mental hurdle and we really played toe to toe with them those last 4 games of the year, and I think for our guys that was a big boost, and that carries over into this year, and you know, it's a whole new group of guys, and we're going in there with the mindset of, you know, yeah, they're a good team, but it goes back to what I was saying previous. We've really put a focus on it doesn't matter who we're playing and it doesn't matter where we're playing, it's that we're playing and we need to play our best baseball, and I think that, you know, as the trip progressed, that's what our mindset was, and we really moved towards that, and I think that that's where we need to be, and that, you know, you hear that all the time, that, you know, the Lakers play the worst team in the NBA and they lose, and it's like, well, geez, they just won 12 in a row. Well, you know, you fall into that trap, so we try to stay out of that, and or you hear that, you know, bad teams play better when they're playing against good teams. Well, you know, I think that you can control that by not falling into that mental trap and just going and focusing on yourselves and focusing on what you can control and putting forth your best effort every time, and that's really been our focus.
It always tickles me, and I know I ask you this every single time, what's it going to take to be successful this weekend? Well, in baseball, it's really pretty standard. You know, you got to hit well, pitch well, and field well, and then you're going to have success. But particularly when you're talking about a quality program like Western Oregon, you really have to have all facets working to be successful, don't you?
You know, from a pitching standpoint, we have to be ahead in the count. We have to dictate from that standpoint. We have to shut down their running game. They'll run on teams all day if you don't shut that down early and show an ability to stop that at any given time. And, you know, offensively, we've got to take advantage of the opportunities they give us. You know, and against a team like that with the quality arms they have, you're only going to see one good pitcher in that bat, and you've got to be ready. And, you know, if that's the first pitch or it's the 10th pitch, you've got to be ready. And when they make a mistake, you got to make them pay. And you know, against all good teams, that's what it comes down to. But you know, for us, those are the three key ingredients, I think, is, you know, we've got to get ahead on the mound, we've got to shut the running game down, and we've got to take advantage of their mistakes, and obviously we have to execute defensively as well.
All right, Chris Brown, congratulations on a pretty nice start to the GNAC season, and best of luck against the Wolves.
Thanks again.
And the Yellow Jacket Coaches Show. Thanks, everyone.
The Yellow Jackets and Montana State University thank you for logging on and listening to Yellow Jacket Sports.